B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Matt.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What makes you confident that Antonio Brown won't be as disruptive here as he was with Oakland or Pittsburgh? And was it difficult for you to reconcile what he was coming off last week in Oakland with bringing him aboard?
Well, I wasn't in one of those places, so I really can't comment on what did or didn't happen there.
Well, it's pretty well documented in both places that he was pretty disruptive. What makes you confident that he won't be that way here?
That's the same thing you said about Randy Moss when we got brought him in. So,
me?
Collectively.
All right, that's where I want to start. Great exchange there. Thanks for getting that, Jimmy Stewart. Tommy Kern and Bill Belichick today. So, it worked with Randy Moss. It'll work with Antonio Brown. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, in our Town Fair Tire Studios. It's a Big Boy Tuesday. How you doing, Greg?
What's up, fellas?
Okay, it worked with Randy Moss. It'll work with Antonio Brown. Can I ask you something honestly? Did it really work with Randy Moss?
For a year.
Kind of.
Did it really work with Randy Moss?
For a year.
No, but not even for a year. Okay, Matt, did it even work in
two... You mean big picture,
well, no.
End of the road, end result.
Let me ask it another way.
Okay.
If with Antonio Brown this year, you lose the Super Bowl, scoring 14 points, and your offense gets shut down, would you consider this move a success?
No. No.
Well, look,
no.
When you ask it that way, no.
How else do I ask it?
Okay, but then I wouldn't consider any move a success.
Yeah, good point, Matt.
I wouldn't consider any move a success.
Nope.
Sure it is, because the ultimate goal for this team is to win the Super Bowl.
Nope. If they had lost that ball game against the Giants, if they were better offensively, it's not just the Giants.
So Adalius Thomas was a success then?
Hell no.
Well, he had a good Super Bowl that year. It wasn't his fault. They lost. They held him to 17 points.
No. Let me put that to the side for a second. Let me just answer your first thing. If they had lost the Super Bowl 38-35, and the offense was firing on all cylinders, and they lost because of another reason, then I look at that differently. Your offense got shut down the stretch that season. It did. And Randy Moss got shut down the stretch that season. So, again, let me put the Adalius Thomas thing to the side. That felt a little tricky.
Felger-ish.
Let me just ask you. Boston, panel, if the Patriots make this move and lose the Super Bowl, scoring 14 points and their offense in the playoffs gets shut down by the week, will this move be a success?
No, it'll be a colossal failure.
Thank you.
Colossal.
So I don't know why we treat the Randy Moss thing like this rousing success.
Well, because for me, and I think for most Patriots fans, it was extremely enjoyable.
It was a blast to watch. It was fun to watch for you. It was fun to watch, but was it ultimately successful?
You people and your fun.
Exactly. I'm not about fun. Screw fun. It was about 19-0. This season is about 19-0. And at least, if not 19-0, winning it all.
Right.
Yeah. Okay? So that's what that's about. Anything short of winning it all. And the only caveat I'll give you is if they lose 38-35 and Antonio Brown is balls out.
Yep.
But Randy Moss down the stretch was not balls out. He was not. So, was Adalius Thomas a success? No. Do you think it was, Maz?
No, I don't. But again, I think you are oversimplifying it. I would tell you that for 1 year, Randy Moss was fine. There's no issue with Randy Moss for 1 year. Randy Moss, in and of himself, was not the reason they lost that game. In fact, he caught the touchdown that put him ahead. So, I just think that that's an oversimplification.
The defensive back fell down.
Okay, even so, then the whole Wes Welker era was a complete waste of time. You wouldn't make that deal again?
Oh, disappointing.
Okay, but you wouldn't make the deal again.
I sure would. But there was no risk with Wes Welker in terms of upsetting my team.
Okay, so that's
because
true.
Randy Moss took you down. Randy Moss started a slow spiral that ended in you having to change your whole culture and reinvent,
agreed.
Get your soul back.
After year one.
So Wes Welker didn't come with that risk attached to him.
Right. After year one, Moss took him down.
Yeah, well, and I would tell you, on the field, you started to develop bad habits at the end of 07 that led to you, I hate to break it to you. People just forget about it. They gloss it over. You did not play well in the playoffs offensively. San Diego held you to 21 here at home, and you put up 31 against Jacksonville, but I barely count that at home. Do you know how many catches Randy Moss had in the divisional home game against Jacksonville? Again, you scored 31.
Two.
It was Jack Del Rio. It was one of those games. Guess how many catches Randy Moss had?
Two.
One. AFC title game at home against San Diego. You only put up 21 points. You really didn't play that well. Guess how many catches Randy Moss had?
Two.
One. Super Bowl, until you got to the fourth quarter. Guess how catches Randy Moss had through the first three quarters of the Super Bowl against the Giants?
Two.
One. One. Teams started to figure you out when you got to the playoffs. So I even think that Randy Moss that year is debatable. I'm glad you had a great regular season. It was fun. But you were not a better team at the end of the year than you were before. You didn't do the thing that you usually do with the Patriots, which is get better as it goes on, become more battle-tested. In fact, it was just the opposite. And Randy Moss was a part of that. So, like, they say, well, Randy Moss, I don't know. I don't think Randy Moss worked. When I heard Bill say that, I'm like, really?
Randy Moss worked for a year.
Okay.
It worked for a year.
If this team goes to the Super Bowl and loses, scoring 14 points, and Antonio Brown is held to one catch a game going into the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl in the playoffs, you think that'll be a success?
Okay, but is Brady going to be healthy, or is he going to be on a bad ankle like it was in the Super Bowl? Is Logan Mankins going to be crawling around on the turf looking for his contact lenses while the Giants' defensive line's completely abusing him? You tell me.
One of the reasons the Patriots' offensive line got abused is that you kept trying to push it down to Randy Moss down the field because you fell in love with Randy Moss and taking the top off the defense.
One of the reasons they got beat is because they got their ass kicked and the Giants' defensive line was better.
But the game plan was to go downfield.
I get it.
Yeah, get it. You don't like Randy Moss.
I'm just telling you, it wasn't this rousing success.
No, listen. So I don't like Belichick's comment any more than you do, but I also think you're oversimplifying the Moss era. So I'm not a huge Moss guy, but Randy Moss for a year basically worked.
Debatable.
Mike, it worked, and also part of it was, you know, the NFL wasn't prepared. Moss, Welker, that offense changed the NFL. The NFL wasn't ready for it. They caught up to it by the end of the year. They realized that, hey, Lawrence Maroney's in the backfield. Why are we even worrying about the running game? Now, you know, if Sony Michel all of a sudden morphs into Lawrence Maroney, you know, and some of the other running backs are hurt, then maybe the Patriots have some difficulties. But you can't say that wasn't a success, that Randy Moss wasn't a success.
Debatable.
He was. Did they flame out in the postseason? Yes.
You are such a dink.
It's debatable.
They went 16-0.
I'm going to say it again. If they don't win the Super Bowl with Antonio Brown, and he is held to one catch a game in the postseason, going into the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, in which you played like crap and scored 14 points, people treat it like it was just bad luck in that Super Bowl. Yeah, there was some bad luck. You also sucked. You gagged. Your offense was not ready to play a real football game. And Randy Moss helped take you there. That's the whole problem with these receivers. They take you in this direction that ultimately usually doesn't work. And ultimately it didn't work with Moss. So that's all I'm saying.
If
you don't win it all this year with Antonio Brown, is it a success?
Okay, hang on a second, Grandpa.
If you don't win it all this year without Antonio Brown, it's not a success.
Correct. You can't compare the two seasons. In 2006, That's fine. They lost in the conference championship game. This is a team that is favored to go back to back. That has won three out of the past five Super Bowls. You know, so this is not 2007 was. You know, it came out of nowhere, basically. Relatively, but this year. Yes, because of the expectations on this team, and they should. They brought everybody back, but just about everybody all over the place, except for Gronk. The defense is all back. They're supposed to be great. The expectations, even before Brown got here, was they should win a Super Bowl. They should at least be in it. Now, with Brown taking this risk, they have to win it.
Is 19-0 on the table, Big
Absolutely.
Point? It is.
I didn't want to entertain it.
Why not?
Just because.
Because it's ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
I'm in on the 19-0.
Me too. Me too.
Wait, but no, but before Sunday night, before they went into Sunday night against the Steelers, we were all like, gee, I don't know if Brady's going to complete a pass. I mean, who has he thrown to? Has he even practiced with these guys?
I never said that.
I'm being facetious.
I understand what you're doing.
So a lot of us didn't know what the passing offense was going to look like. We didn't know whether it was going to be successful. We knew the defense was going to be good. We figured the Steelers would be a playoff contender. And then they go out there and they completely smoke them in all three phases of the game. You know, and that's for starters. This is a team that starts terrible, especially Brady. Brady does not come out like gangbusters, and he was awesome the other night. So if they're starting here and adding Antonio Brown to it, unless the Steelers are complete garbage, which they may be, this then 19-0 go nuts.
This thought just occurred to me as he was talking. The whole 19-0 premise, is it based more on what you saw on Sunday night or Antonio Brown?
I felt it was on the table before Antonio Brown.
Okay, so to me it was more about Sunday night. When I saw that defense play the way it did and the fact that Gordon and Dorsett were functional in the passing game, I went, whoa.
I've been saying for a month they're getting off to a good start.
Okay, so I have felt that way too, but a good start at 19-0 are two different
33
things.
33-3?
Well, they're going to be 8-0 or 9-0 until that Baltimore game, whenever that is. So that's where they were going to be before this guy. Now we got this guy, and you're risking, you know, all the good stuff you built in there. So he better take it to the next level, which means, okay, now you win some of those games in the middle of the year you may have dropped. And I think it should be on the table.
Absolutely.
It should be on the table. And anything less than a Super Bowl, the move's a fail. Again, providing if, and it's got to be that Randy Moss thing, the offense in the end of 07. I'm just going there because Bill went there today. I just would not hold up the Randy Moss era as a rousing success.
Nor would I.
Okay? And even 07 is debatable. But again, if the offense falters and the passing game and the direction of the passing game is part of the reason, then you're going to look back and say, no, it wasn't worth it. If they're scoring 35 points and losing with Antonio Brown putting up huge numbers through the playoffs, then I'm not going to blame him or the move. Like, that's silly. But the point is, Randy Moss sort of turtled at the end of the year. And the offense turtled as the year went on. And that's not a coincidence. So that's just what happened. And that happens again. You're going to say that's a success? See, it worked with Randy Moss. It worked with Antonio Brown. I don't know if it worked with Andrew. That's all. He went there. Greg has some thoughts on on-field stuff with Antonio Brown. And we all know why it may not work off the field. We've been over that a million times, and we'll continue to. That's a real story. Greg has some thoughts on why it may not work on the field. I want to get to this part of it as well. We'll do that what?
I just want to tell Greg that typically this program is hosted by Michael Felger. I don't know what your middle initial is, but today I would like to introduce you to Richard Felger. Richard, you, though, feel free to call him Dick.
I'll go Randy Moss.
I probably will.
Bill went there. I didn't. On-field issues.
That's a neat trick. Don't put this on me. I don't actually. I had to bring this up today because Bill.
Randy Moss was not on my board until Bill Belichick brought it up. And I said, wait a minute. We're going to say it really worked with Randy Moss. That's the standard?
Don't go anywhere. Maz and Dick coming back next.
And Bedard.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
I've had a lot of experience in 20 years of football with a lot of different teammates. You know, if you look at a guy like Randy, you know, whatever is said about him, you know, he's a great friend of mine 12 years later after we met. You know, we have a great relationship. He came in and set the league on fire that season. And he was so excited to play and compete, was an incredible teammate, and what we did that season, you know, was the best statistic season, you know, our team has ever had in terms of offense. So, you know, you don't judge anything. I'm not judging anything before, you know, I've had a chance to go out and practice and prepare, and I've had so many great teammates over the years. And, you know, Antonio, meeting him today, and I really enjoyed being around him. He's a very smart football player, knows how to play the game. He's been extremely productive. And the only thing that I know what we can do is to go out there and work at it and to meet and to communicate and to get on the practice field and go through things. So I'm not buying into any hype or potential. I'm into work. He's into work. And our entire offense is into doing what's in the best interest of the team. And I'm really excited to get to practice on Wednesday.
That's Brady last night with Jim Gray on Antonio Brown and the Randy Moss comparison. We all know off the field, it's a freaking landmine. Big question marks off the field. Sort of ignoring the on-the-field thing. I feel like he'll be a perfect fit. I look at him, but again, I don't watch him every day, and I don't have the coach's film. I think he's a tough guy over the middle, Antonio Brown. I like him better than Moss, if we're just going to play out this comparison. He'll go over the middle. I feel he's tougher. I feel he's more competitive. I like his route running better. His hands are great, maybe as good as Moss's, which is hard to say. I mean, they're both just elite, elite, elite in that regard. I just like him better as a player. But on the field, are there some things that we're missing, Bedard?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, I'm in favor of this move. I was in favor of this move. I think that Antonio Brown is just, he's the proverbial guy who's just so talented, you have to take the risk. And so I'm in favor of it. Because, you know, what I've seen on film over the years, which is he's a threat to score from any spot on the field. He can line up anywhere from the backfield to wide out to slot, whatever. He can do it all and score from anywhere. And so Josh McDaniels will have a ball trying to get him the ball, and I think it'll work. Now, I've been talking to more people in Pittsburgh this week to see if there's some things that, you know, we don't know. And I think this has been mentioned a little bit, but this gives me a lot of pause. Brown is a freelancer on his routes. Like, when I watch him on film, I see a guy who runs great routes. I mean, he's got quick feet, sharp cuts, yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I've always loved that about him. Now, talking to people there, that was Brown basically doing what he wants to do. And that would have an effect on Roethlisberger, to the point where Roethlisberger would, you know, pump fake, stare him down, that sort of thing, because he wasn't sure where Brown was going to end up. That led to, I don't know how many people know this, but Antonio Brown led the league in interceptions thrown to him last year, 11. Over the past four seasons, he's had 31 interceptions thrown to him. Balls that were intended for him were picked off. 31 in four seasons.
Holy crap.
I mean, that has to lead the league over the last 4 years. He's been up there for the past 4 years. Incidentally, the player who led the league in interceptions thrown to him last year, or 2017, was Demaryius Thomas. But that's something for another day.
Shocker.
Now, here's why it gives me pause, and why I think it might give Bill pause if there are some issues. Remember when they brought in Chad Ochocinco, whenever that was? Another move that I was in favor of, because on film,
2011,
you look at Chad on film, one of the greatest route runners you'll ever see. And so I'm sure Bill saw the same thing. He's watching the film. He's like, oh, this guy will be perfect. We'll bring him in here. What they didn't know, what you can't tell from film, is Ochocinco was a freelancer. I heard the same things. In hindsight, I would ask people in Cincinnati. They're like, yeah, Carson Palmer would pump fake and stare him down all day because he wasn't sure where Chad Ochocinco ends up. And now I'm hearing the same things about Antonio Brown, and I'm like, oh, crap, not again. So, I mean, look, I'm not saying this is going to happen.
That's not going to work here,
Greg. It's not. But I will say it's not a total negative because, you know, talking to Dale Lally, who works for DK Pittsburgh Sports and is covered, he did a radio show with Antonio Brown for 3 years. First of all, the guy's late for everything. Everything. Practices, radio shows, everything. I'm sure they'll figure that out. Now, I just let my train of thought.
That's okay. They'll figure it out because he'll show up on time, or they'll just let him show up late.
Well, you know what? Yes. I don't rule out the second thing.
I mean, so what does that mean? It's one of two things. Either he shows up on time, or you just let him do what he wants.
I mean, they're going to give him latitude. Bill will bend the rules.
They just signed it. They just gave him a check for $5 million.
Yeah, they'll bend the rules. There's no two ways about it. But I'm concerned now about, look, because I had the same impression of Antonio Brown that you do, which is, this guy's a surgeon out there, for crying out loud. You want him on the outside, he can do it. You want to run him out of the slot, he can do it. Just recently, one of the last practices with the Raiders, when he finally got on the field with them, they said he was abusing defensive backs. I hear all that, and I say, oh, this is all good. But if he's going to freelance, you say the word freelance, you know what I hear? That's what they were saying about Jamie Collins before they shipped his ass out the door, albeit on the other side of the ball. If he's pulling that crap, it'll never work.
I will tell. Okay, I remember what I was going to say. It's not all bad, because the way Antonio Brown runs routes is he runs based on the way the defense is playing him. And that's really the way this Patriots offense is predicated. You know, if the corner's outside, you go inside. If he's, you know, if he's playing you short, and then you go deep, you know, that sort of thing. Those route adjustments. So the Patriots have that. I don't think the Steelers are big on that. I think they're, and we saw it the other night, how simplified their offense
is. You think?
So I don't think it's not a terrible indicator for Brown that he runs routes the way he wants to, because
his instincts might align with their philosophy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, his instincts might align with what they want. And you know what? If it aligns with what Brady wants,
yeah.
Like, if as long as he and Brady see it the same way, that's fine. The guy scares the crap out of me.
But, I mean, you know how Brady is. If he wants a 7-yard comeback, it better be 7 yards, not
precisely.
8, or else he's not going to give you the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And when he doesn't want you running square ins or square outs, you work back to the ball. It's that inverted V, you know, it's like that thing. And when it's at 14 yards, it's 14. It's not 13. It's not 15, or else he's not going to throw you the ball. So is Antonio Brown precise like that? Is that how he plays? Because I don't feel that's how Roethlisberger quarterbacks. I see he chucks. You know, he chucks. He's not a precision guy like that. So this is something people don't consider. There was also this on this ESPN Plus site, the paywall site. Seth Walder writes that Antonio Brown has a major weakness, and it has nothing to do with his helmet, his feet, or his wallet. Walder writes that last season, Brown caught 100 passes for a sixth consecutive season while piling up 1,300 yards, league-high 15 touchdowns. On the surface, it looked like just another great year for one of the game's top wideouts. But he says digging deeper into his performance reveals a worrying trend and a sign that he might be declining. The new Patriots wideout struggled against press coverage, and the rest of the NFL caught on. He said in the previous 2 years, 16 and 17, he was fine against press coverage, and then he goes into all the numbers. But last year was a different story, writes Walder. Brown ran 327 routes against press coverage, catching only 28 passes for 425 yards. And while Brown did have 7 touchdowns on those routes, he averaged just 6.3 yards per target. And his 41.8% catch rate was 9.5 percentage points below his expected completion percentage. The 6.5 yards per target against press coverage, 6.3 yards per target, puts him way behind the leaders. Who do you think the best in the league would be against press coverage? I'll give you the top 5.
Is Edelman up there?
Nope. So Julio Jones first.
Oh, sure, yeah.
12.2 yards per target. So double what Antonio Brown has against press coverage. So Julio Jones gets pressed, he gets bodied, and he still puts up numbers. Number 2 surprises me. Brandon Cooks of the Rams.
Ugh.
11.8. Mike Evans of the Buccaneers, 11.7. Makes perfect sense. Big physical guy.
Right. Big fast guy. Yeah.
The next guy makes perfect sense. Alshon Jeffrey of the Eagles.
Another one.
9.5. Big physical guy. Body me up. No problem. Michael Thomas with the Saints, 9.3 yards.
Okay. They're all big guys.
All those guys make sense. Antonio Brown against press coverage near the bottom of the league and has declined. So there's another thing. Now, I'm stunned by the amount of teams that don't press cover the Patriots, don't come up and try and redirect Welker at the line or redirect Gronkowski at the line. Like, to me, that's the only way to play the Patriots, is to get up in their face and redirect them and take them out of their timing and everything. And it blows me away how many teams play off. With Antonio Brown, I don't know. But what do you think of that, Greg, against press coverage?
Well, I mean, I'm a little bit dubious about those stats. I mean, that Brandon Cooks is up there. I mean, how close can the coverage be? This is not a guy who gets off press coverage. He just doesn't. So, you know, maybe there's a little cushion. I don't know. But I will say, with Brown, it's not going to be an issue. I think the Steelers were not a team that ran a ton of really good motion. The Patriots run a ton of motion, which, I mean, like you were just talking about how teams play the Patriots. I mean, oh, my God, the Steelers the other night. I mean, what you don't know Julian Edelman and James White are going to go in motion and then just do a quick out for, you know, on 3rd and 4 every time. I mean, how many times do you have to play these guys, you morons? But they between Edelman and Brown, they are going to be running motion all over the place where people can't key on them, and they're going to fake the jet sweep and do all this stuff. People are going to be dizzy for a while once they get up to speed, it's going to be dizzying. The question is, can the smart teams adjust at the end of the season like we saw in 07?
Okay, we're going to get your reaction. I know you're all lined up. We do have to do 3 up and 3 down from the game. We'll do that right after Murray's update. It's Felger Maz with the big boy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, it's time for Three Up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And Three Down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three Up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three Down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, we've gone over the game film. We have our clipboards. And when I say we, I mean the big boy, Greg Bedard, who has been too cheap to replace his clipboard that he lost during training camp.
I just haven't had time yet, right?
It costs $4.
I can't just hop down to Office Depot, you know? I got things to do.
We're going to get you a Felger Mass clipboard.
Seriously.
When we say charts, we're not lying, folks. I mean, this is just... And if you're watching on the simulcast, NBC Sports Boston, Maz had to go on Amazon and buy a
big boy plushie. He's carrying two hamburgers.
Yeah. I hope there's bacon on those.
Of course, the way this one is slumped over next to the monitor, it looks like he had a couple of beers, too.
Did you see this thing?
It's great. All right, so we've dressed it up a little bit here on the simulcast. Give me your three studs. Three duds, three up, three down. Who's your number one star for the Pats there, Greg?
Jonathan Jones. He was awesome in this game. I mean, I had him factoring into five pass breakups, which is that's like a half a season for most guys. I mean, he was great. He cashed in with the contract extension. He's not taking any time off. So it was great to see.
Jonathan Jones.
Something tells me that wasn't on your list there, man.
No, I went Philip Dorsett. I thought Dorsett was, you know, along with Gordon, they were the two biggest differences in the game. The Patriots passing game to me was a huge variable going in, a huge unknown. I thought Dorsett was dynamite.
Can Terrell Edmonds share that with Philip Dorsett?
The safety?
Yeah.
He blows, huh?
Yeah, I thought that was tremendous him letting the... Anyway, go ahead. Next, two.
Tom Brady. He was great in this game. I mean, there wasn't a ton of high degree of difficulty thanks to that ace Mike Tomlin defensive plan in this game. But, I mean, he did have the first touchdown to Dorsett was awesome looking off the safety.
What a great throw.
And then I also thought the long pass to Gordon was great on both Brady and Gordon's part.
Great play.
That Brady it showed me a lot that Brady trusted Josh Gordon in that spot because Brady let go of it before he did his breaks and all that stuff. Brady trusted him. Last year, I don't think Brady makes that throw. I think he feels much better about Josh this year. Hopefully he keeps it up.
I went Dante Hightower. I thought Hightower looked terrific in this game. And again, you know, they played great team defense. It was hard to pick out any one guy. But he, to me, looks like a different guy. He didn't look anything like that. Remember last the beginning of last year how slow he looked?
Yeah.
He looks much faster, much stronger, much more engaged. I thought Hightower looked terrific.
Third star, Greg.
Joe Tooney.
Oh, God.
He was perfect. Other than he had one poor screen block. Other than that, he was awesome.
I remember that.
Yeah, he was, like I've been saying all offseason, I think he is now, certainly with Shaq Mason, they're head-to-head, but I think Tooney could be the best offensive lineman this year.
Next.
I went Steven Goskowski.
Oh.
Okay, the field goal operation was not good in the preseason. I'm also intrigued by the fact that the Patriots are now kicking the kickoffs out of the end zone. So they're clearly eliminating that. They just have basically had Goskowski kick it out of the back of the end zone. He generally did that. But they made all four field goals and three extra points.
Three stars, go. Number one, I'm sorry, dud. Three duds, the better part. Give me the three duds, one.
Shaq Mason. He was, this had to have been his worst game as a professional. I mean, it was bad. He was getting pushed all around. 6.5 total quarterback pressures given up. 1.5 run stuffs. That's a season for him in one game. And look, it's the Steelers. They're really good up front with Hayward and Hargrave and Tuitt and all those guys. But he's better than this. And, you know, I'm sure it's just 1 week, but it was not good at all.
Gets me excited when Greg picks on the fat guys.
Yeah.
Michael Bennett. And he was only out there for about half the snaps.
Invisible.
I barely remember seeing him.
Yeah, I
Bennett?
Yeah.
No, he was really good in this game.
Oh, was he? I thought he sucked. I didn't see him at all.
I barely noticed him.
I thought he had the most. I had him for the most quarterback pressures for the Patriots.
Well, so again,
discerning eye.
Maz and I give you our analysis from the couch. You're in the coach's film. Blah blah blah. Anyway, second dud for you,
J.C. Jackson. You know, he gave up a couple 20-yarders, had a penalty, I think. The kid is very talented. He's fast as hell, but he's just got to rein it in a little bit more. He seems a little bit too amped up when he gets out there, when he gets his chances. He still can be a really good player. He just needs to settle down a little bit.
Edelman. He might have been their worst receiver in this game. I don't think he was. Look, again, Craig, they won 33-3. Okay, so am I nitpicking? Yeah, I'm nitpicking. But Edelman, to me, I don't know if it's the thumb or what. I don't think he's quite there yet.
Third, quickly.
Marcus Cannon. That whole right side of the line, they had a lot of issues. They gave up a lot of pressures. Cannon was not as bad as he was last year against J.J. Watt, but, you know, it still wasn't great. I mean, they had to help him out a lot with backs and tight ends and things like that. And it still wasn't all that much better.
Mass?
Ted Karras. What the hell were those snaps in the shotgun?
Leave steady, Teddy.
He looks like he's playing leapfrog, for crying out loud, the way he was flipping that ball. But what was that? Can you explain that one to me, big boy?
He's not good on shotgun snaps. I feel like, who's the Packers center? I feel like every other snap to Aaron Rodgers is just like that. And they just dealt with it for 5 years because they're just too dumb to figure it out. But anyway, real quick, the Karras thing was self-evident. He's got to tighten that up. I think we would all agree on that. How'd you feel about Sony Michel in this game?
Not good. I mean, look, I'm not going to get overhyped over one game. I mean, I would give it up for the line last year. I didn't give him a ton of credit or all the credit. And I'm not going to give him, I'm not going to say it's all negative on his part because the line. But he was really tentative running the ball. He looked like he was really thinking. He got pitter-pattered with his feet. That I haven't seen that out of him. I am shocked. That's not the way. He is very decisive. He was not decisive in this game at all. I don't know why this was, but it's totally out of character for him.
Stephon Gilmore. You wrote in our email, not great.
He was okay. I mean, you know, he gave up some receptions. So those people who tabulate like, receptions per target.
Yeah.
You know, it's a rough afternoon, but a lot of it was minor stuff. You know, he had to play in the slot more. You know, he found out how it is to play defense without the help of the boundary on the outside.
Chase Winovich.
That kid is awesome. He needs to play more. I don't know I don't think it's going to be too long before he's starting playing every down instead of John Simon. I don't know. He makes plays all over the place. He's highly productive. He chased two plays down from the backside again. Just unleash the kid. Let him go. He's awesome.
Okay, folks. To your calls. Bill Belichick compared this signing to Randy Moss. It worked with Randy. It can work with this guy. Was the Randy Moss signing really successful? Even in 07. In other words, if you lose the Super Bowl this year, scoring 14 points, and Antonio Brown gets shut down in the playoffs like Randy Moss was shut down in the playoffs, will you consider this move a success? Your calls on that and something for free, a giveaway right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5. The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Just your classic sports radio sort of thing. Opinion, phone call, commercial.
The stories of the day.
Claire, put the desk world down!
In their unique way.
This is what we do.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What kind of work does he have to do to get ready? It's a two-part question. What kind of work does he have to do to get ready and assimilate himself to the program and the offense? And what kind of work does the coaching staff have to do to help him and prepare him?
Take it day by day. We haven't practiced yet, so we're going through information with him like we would with any new player, like we did with offensive lineman last week, and just take it day by day and see how it goes. Get out on the practice field and after Wednesday, talk about Thursday, and just go through the week. So see how it goes.
All right, Bill, on Antonio Brown's a week ahead here with the Patriots. Again, I have a giveaway coming for you this segment from Core Golf. You don't want to miss it. Bill, in that other part of his conference call, when asked about assimilating Antonio Brown and the problems that he's had elsewhere coming in here, he said, well, you asked the same things with Randy Moss, implying you had the same questions with Randy Moss, and we made it work with him. And I ask, did it really work? So your thoughts. John in Providence. Go ahead, John.
You know, you guys, Greg Bedard and all, and Tony Maz, you guys are all about winning. But with Randy Moss, we never won. So how can you say that's a success whenever you take such a big risk?
Because it's an oversimplification, John.
But still, when I take a risk, I want to win. I don't care about numbers. I don't care about entertainment. It's about winning.
So and
they brought in...
Yeah, John, and let me just pick it up for you. It's not just that they lost. I think he contributed to the losing. I'm not blaming him singularly. But the offense got figured out by the end of that year, never mind subsequent years, where Bill was upfront about it. Like, we've become so predictable. You get on top of Randy and underneath Wes Welker, what do we have? I mean, that's just what they became. And those receivers sort of take you down that path. And they fell in love with getting Randy Moss up on the safeties. Remember week 17 against the Giants, they did have a big night. And Randy Moss just torched those safeties and tortured those safeties of the Giants. So they go into the Super Bowl, like, well, we'll just chuck it up to Randy. And the Giants were ready for it. So you became that kind of team. And so I don't think Randy Moss, even by the end of the year, I don't think you were a good offense by the end of the year. You weren't. The Chargers shut you down, for crying out loud. So if the same thing happens with Antonio Brown, we're going to treat that like a success?
I just think it's because of where the teams are. This team is coming off a Super Bowl title. They were favored before Antonio Brown got here to win the Super Bowl. In 2006, the Patriots went, 12-4, lost in the conference championship game?
Yes, sir.
And then all of a sudden the next year they went 16-0 and were one play away from winning the Super Bowl? Sorry, I think that's a success. Antonio Brown coming here and they take a step back and lose the Super Bowl or lose in the conference championship game? Colossal failure.
Yeah, look, again, if you're asking me what I think of the Randy Moss experiment, if that's what we're going to call it, I'll tell you that by the end, you know, it was at the end was a disaster, and they had to get rid of the guy. In the short term, though, I thought generally it worked. The other thing is, when we talk about that Super Bowl, how about the game plan? Like, is it his fault that they devised that game plan?
No, but that's what tends to happen when you have these guys. That's what I keep saying.
Okay, but
you
again,
sort of fall in love with it. You fall in love with the greatest show on turf, and you fall in love, you become a finesse team, and you fall in love with that stuff, and you get up against a good physical defense deep in the playoffs. The big physical defense tends to beat that finesse offensive team.
I just think that there were other reasons they lost that game. It wasn't all about him. That's
it was,
all.
It was the offense. He scored 14 freaking points.
And they were ahead.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, sure, the defense in the fourth quarter, no great shakes, but for the greatest offense they've ever had to score 14 points in the Super Bowl, I'm sorry.
The offensive line lost that game.
Yeah, and the game plan was a part of it. Mike and Peabody, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, so, I mean, I don't know. I think there's kind of an undercurrent here that we're kind of missing. And, you know, I was definitely in favor for the acquisition before I heard the money. The money really made me kind of jump out of my seat just because, you know, you said it, you know, yesterday. They're tied to him. I mean, I think the thought that since Bill stuck his neck out there, and he acquired him, and knowing, you know, what this guy brings to the table is kind of speaking to, you know, how he feels about the wide receiver core. And that is, I think, kind of scary.
So let me just stop you on those two things. Greg, is this signing an indictment of what Bill has here on the team? In other words, does he look at these guys and say, they're not going to make it? I need to take this risk because of what I already have?
No, I just think it's, you know, one of these rare guys who comes available, and he tripped over his own feet getting there quick enough to sign him and to give him basically whatever he wanted. Now, I will say about the contract.
So, hold on. Okay. I actually agree with that. I think that Bill had A-B in his pants for a long time.
Yep.
And when you have a chance to get
just
someone
like Ocho
that talented for a reduced price, free in terms of asset,
mm-hmm.
Basically for free, it's just money and playing around with the cap. Like Bill says, that's an offer I just can't pass up. So whether they had a fully loaded receiver core or nothing, he still does this because that's an opportunity in his eye. Now, the contract.
Yeah, I mean, look, when when I came out in favor of this last week, I said I thought it was unlikely to happen because I didn't think the Raiders would be dumb enough to release him. I figured they'd just suspend him and, you know, keep him on the roster and, you know, make him pay for his sins. They didn't do that for whatever reason. Then the other part was I thought that the Patriots would have a certain line that they wouldn't cross in terms of money. And I thought somebody else might step up who had more cap space and things like that, that they would step up and risk more because they needed to risk more because they're not as good as the Patriots. I was surprised. I am shocked that they handed him basically, what, $6 million guaranteed up front?
They wrote him a check for $5 million
And he gets a $1 million guaranteed salary.
So the salary, but that's in 17 installments. So if,
correct.
So if he flies the coop, they can just say, well, we're not, we owe you that money, but you're still going to have to come get it. But to me, it's a $5 million check. Apparently, there's another four coming.
Right. Well, that's, I want to know when that's due.
Right. When is it coming? Is
because
it next
I
month
hope,
or is it 6 months?
Right. I hope it's at the end of the season.
Right.
So there's a carrot out there. And then if he does act up, they could be like, no, you can come sue us for that
exactly.
money if you want. And that, so that's somewhat smart, but I'm still surprised they went to this line. I figured Bill would say, look, we made Randy completely tear up his contract when he got here. He got like nothing signing bonus, nothing salary, per game roster bonuses. I thought, you know, are you too good for the Randy Moss deal? And then we don't want you. But boy, they just capitulated on this, you know, with this player. I'm surprised by that, but at least they split up the signing bonus, which is very craft-like. They like to do that.
To me, it's just all when that second part is due.
Yep.
It's all when that second
I hope they can hang it over his head.
Absolutely. But even that $5 million changes it. Changes it just a little bit. Because you all like to say, if he runs a foul, you kick him out the first sign of trouble. And I'm telling you, when you write someone a check for $5 million, I'm not talking about stupid, non-existent cap dollars. I'm talking about real money. When you give someone a check for $5 million and he blows off a team meeting the next day, you're not very likely to say, get out of here with my $5 million. You say, I'm going to give you another chance.
No, they're going to give this guy plenty of chances.
And that's what that money represents. And that's why the restructure on Moss and Dylan, they did the same thing, was so important to them. Him coming in on our terms contractually. And they didn't really do that in this one. And I think those incentives, while that's holding money out for him, is problematic too. Those are going to be tough incentives for him to match what he did last year. Missing a whole week and then having to probably get a couple to get up to speed, I think. And then just the way this offense works, they're not just going to feed him to feed him. And so if he gets to the end of the year and realizes he ain't going to hit those incentives, how's he going to react to that? In the past, it hasn't been too good. As I promised, a giveaway. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 value card to Core Golf in Natick. Good for 10 free buckets. Wow. That's a great deal. At the number one rated driving range and practice facility in the Northeast, coregolf.com, K-O-H-R. You say it's changed your game, Core Golf.
Oh, yeah, totally. No, I'm not kidding.
This is not just some...
I've had like some of the best rounds of my life in the last month.
This is not just some beater driving range. This is a top flight facility with great instructors, private lessons, that TrackMan technology. You just want to play with the toys, don't you?
I do. I like the TrackMan technology, yeah. I told you, it's that thing that shows you where the ball goes up and where it lands. I hit one so straight, there was one line on the screen. It came down in the exact same spot it went up. It was unbelievable.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line wins the 10 free buckets to Core Golf. Check out Core Golf, even if you're not winning the freebies. It's worth it. 90-second update for Murray. Right back with your calls with Greg Bedard in studio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.